Welcome to episode 15 of the Family Podcast Network. Hoping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Guys, we got a great topic for today. It's one of my personal favorites. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the different types of parenting approaches. Now, when I say this, one of my good long-standing friends, we have a couple that we've been family friends with for years, named Heather Brink, brought up a great point the other day. And she mentioned that, you know, a lot of these things that she, you know, she had shared the link that I put on Facebook and then said, this can also be great for teaching. She brings up an actually wonderful point that is the long-term goal of me with Family Podcast Network and FPN, is that eventually what I want to start doing is putting this together and begin training also teachers and other staff out there. So when I say other staff, teachers of a school, even teaching cafeteria workers how to work with kids, or even staff members of a church, you know, teaching these folks, how do you work with these really tough kids? How do you get them? How do you draw them in? Because it's not as hard as it looks. Now, don't get me wrong. When we say working with our tough kids and even those that aren't, there's a reason why we call them tough. But I think we have a tendency to overcomplicate the matter. It's like saying it's hard to put out a fire, right? But we're using gasoline as the agent to try to put it out, right? It's really hard to put out a fire with gasoline. I'm going to go as far as say it's impossible. And a lot of times, the approaches that people have towards these kids, it's the same thing. They're coming at them all wrong. And so all it does is that it gets worse and it makes the fire burn even higher. And then guess who has a tendency to get blamed? Not the people doing it, they blame the kids, right? And the kids have a part to do with it too. But bottom line is, as authorities and as leaders, who needs to be the one to set that example first? It needs to be us. So we're going to talk a little bit about the different parenting approaches today that I see. The common, I think it's top five most common approaches that I see today. It is completely synonymous with this right here. Teaching approaches as well. These are also the different types of teaching approaches. Really, those are hand in hand. The way we parent, it is about teaching, and those go hand in hand, and you can use that on an educational level as well. So for all you teachers out there, this can also be a really good one for you. So we're going to talk about the different approaches. So let's just jump right into this. Before we hop into that, guys, consider liking me on Facebook and on Twitter. You guys can also link this over there if you guys want to share this on your Facebook. Feel free to do that. It's a wonderful podcast to get out there. I really want teachers to get a snag of this and be able to pull this back in. So let's talk about different types of parenting / teaching methods that I see that are out there. Number one, it is the most common, I think, probably the most common out of two that I see the most, but it's probably the most common that I get. And it's the, you're going to do things my way, or it's the highway approach. It's the number one thing that I see. This is the kind of approach that's very strong disciplinarian. You're going to do exactly what I want you to do, exactly the way I want you to do, right when I ask you to do it, right? It is, you're going to do it my exact way, or you're going to get out of here, right? It's the most common one that I see teachers take the approach with. You're going to do things exactly in my classroom, you're going to do things my way, or you're out of here. On a quick aside note, guys, I have pulled all of this from what's called the Nurturing Parent Curriculum. Wonderful, wonderful curriculum. I highly recommend you guys. It's written by the Babilex. I've mentioned it 100 times on here because it is that good. It is the one that I would advertise on this website for completely free because I love it. Check them out if you ever get a chance. I'm going to put a link in my show notes to their website. Go check them out if you get a chance. So number one is that my way or the highway approach. This is, you're going to do exactly the way I want it. What it encourages is this. It encourages what kind of obedience? Blind obedience. Now, a lot of people would say, Trey, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with getting a kid to where they do exactly what we want, when we want it? Yes, sir, I'm the drill sergeant. They give it to us, right? What's wrong with that? And it's tricky because in a lot of ways we like that. We like that our kids will do exactly what we want when we want, right? We can justify it all in the name of safety. And some of those are safety issues, right? If my kid's in the middle of the street and I'm like, Grant, get out of the road, right? I don't need to be given a 10-point discourse or a lecture as to why he needs to be getting out of there. He just needs to move, right? So I say, Trey, what's wrong with blind obedience? What's wrong with a kid just never questioning whether I'm right or wrong? It's this right here. This typically produces a blind obedient kid, and there are two people in this world that love blindly obedient children. This is going to get a little uncomfortable for a minute, guys. Number one person that loves those blindly obedient children that we create, sexual predators. It's a harsh reality, guys, but let me tell you, it is happening, and I guarantee you, you know somebody right now who's experienced it or is experiencing it. Sexual predators love blindly obedient children because they can be manipulated, they can be talked into doing things, because these kids are the kids that have been taught, you don't ever question why somebody's doing something. And they love that because they can use it to manipulate these kids to get them to never say a word to anybody. Second people that like this is cult leaders. This may sound dramatic, guys, but cults love blindly obedient people. They want somebody that's going to follow them because they can make them feel good, but never is going to question why. Never is going to ask them, why is this right? Why do you believe this? Why do you think this is the right thing to do? Cult leaders love it. We have one not too far from here in Abilene, made the top 10 FBI most wanted and most watched by the FBI. And so, I mean, I have to be careful by the details that I say in this, but let me tell you, they take these kiddos who don't question and they manipulate and contort and they get them to do the things that they want them to do, because these are the kids that have been raised that you do not question adults. Now, I have to be careful with this. Am I saying that it's okay for kids to question every single thing that we do right in that moment? No, I'm not saying that. I do think it's okay for kids to question everything that we do. Why do we do it this way? Why do we have to have a curfew of midnight? I think those are wonderful questions. The problem is that most parents don't have answers for them. I'll ask you guys this quick pop quiz. Do you know why we say most time we say curfew of midnight or before? Do y'all know why most parents do that? Because research shows, statistics show, that most violent crime happens between the hours of midnight to 4 a.m. That's why we do that. But most parents don't have a good reason for it. So whenever their kids say, well, why? They don't have a good reason for it. Their kids get frustrated, defy them because they don't have a good reason for it. And then it turns into a big fight. I do not recommend my way or the highway approach. I understand it. I struggle sometimes with falling back on this one with my kids. Right? Here's the classic mantra of my way or the highway. Well, why? Well, because I said. I'm going to go as far to call that one of the biggest cardinal no-no sins of parenting. I do not recommend the because I said approach. We had some friends a while back kind of get a little confrontational and say, well, Trey, sometimes kids use the word why as a way to manipulate and coerce us into not doing it something right. And I agree. That is very true. Kids do that. However, we don't indulge it in the moment, but I always recommend that you go back and give your kids a good reason. Here's one of two things that I see. Number one, they have a good reason and the kid just doesn't get it. Or number two, they don't have a very good reason for why they have this particular rule or whatever else they told this kid to do. And in reality, when they stop and look back, they go, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal if they do this. It's not that big a deal if they're out till 12:30 tomorrow night when I want them home by midnight, right? You know, reevaluating those types of things is all I'm saying. So, but again, kids do and will sometimes use that to manipulate and coerce and to try to get different things. I do agree with that. But the heart of the nature of what I'm talking about here is have a good reason for everything and be ready to share that with your kid. After that, once you've given them the reason behind it and they really understand it, then disobedience is a whole other ballgame. We'll hit that on another podcast. Here's the second one that I see. This is one of my favorites. Very, very closely mimics the my way or the highway approach. This is the one day you'll thank me approach. This is just kind of a modified my way or the highway approach. here's my number one recommendation. This comes right from the Babelex. I love the way they put this. Guys, don't just sit around waiting for a thank you note from your kids, whether it be your kids in your classroom or the kids in your house. Don't be sitting around waiting for a thank you note from them, because it rarely ever works. The difference between this one is this is the my way or the highway approach, but with that little added addendum of, well, I'm doing this for their good, and one of these days they'll appreciate. This is that one that allows them, like, you know, it's pain for gain. You know, there's the good beatings. We got to give them a good spanking because one day you'll thank me for this, right? the bottom line, all it's doing is it's trying to take being violent with our kids, you know, the good hard spankings, you know, the good whoopings, it's trying to take that and disguise it as being a good thing. And it really, it doesn't work very often, guys. I don't recommend this one. It doesn't create gratitude in your kid's heart for it. In reality, it typically has the absolute opposite effect. So I don't recommend this. What it also teaches is that healthy environments in the world involve violence and getting hit and beaten, good spankings and whoopings and things like that. I don't recommend that one. So now a lot of you guys out there are like, holy junk. Now Trey is proving that he is one of those, you know, just give them gold stars for the rest of their life and they'll turn out fine. I am not one of those folks, I promise you. I don't believe that you just hug them and schmooch them and tell them that they're awesome and good and then they'll all be fine. We talked a little bit about this in the positive parenting that we talked about in the last podcast, episode 14. I'm not one of those people. You cannot just build your kids up and never set boundaries with them and them turn out fine. That's the extreme other end. That's the one that I call the love them and schmooch them and then they'll turn out fine approach. That doesn't work either. You can't just love them and hug them and tell them good job and give them the golden star all the time and expect them to turn out fine. Kids need boundaries. They need to be told no. I think it's inherent in every single kid to need those boundaries. I remember whenever my daughter was first born, Anna, she was our first kid, and we got her out, and man, she was crying and fussing and screaming, and we couldn't figure out what was going wrong, and she was fed, and she had, you know, and just all these different things. We started thinking, oh no, my wife isn't making enough breast milk. I mean, we were going through all these different things. Called my mother-in-law, my mother says, well, have you swaddled her? I'm like, well, no, crap, we didn't think of that, right? So we sat her down, and we tucked her little arms in, and we folded her in, and just made that nice little baby burrito, you know, out of her kid, and she stopped crying. And I began to think, she has been wrapped up in the fetal position for 9 months straight, and all of a sudden now she's out where she has all this freedom to flail and flip, right? That can be a scary thing. She needed boundaries. I think we inherently need boundaries. I think that's why we create laws and rules, is because humans need boundaries or else we'll get away with whatever feels the best at all times. Nothing wrong with pleasure. Don't hear me knocking that down. But sometimes pleasure doesn't produce the best results, right? Pleasure has produced this giant gut that I've got right here. Working out and exercising creates muscle tone and causes that to drop, right? Sometimes the best things in life aren't for free. They're actually quite costly, right? So again, this hug them and cuddle them and love them and schmooch on them and then they'll turn out fine approach, it doesn't work well either. Guys, I want to make sure I'm very clear on something. I am not saying that hugging and schmooching on your kid is bad. That's not the purpose of saying this today. Research has consistently shown, and I think we talked about this in the last episode, but research has consistently shown that kids that are hugged and cuddled and kissed and all that other good junk and held and all those different things, they're, neurologically, their brains actually develop better and faster than those kids who don't, which just fascinates me to no end. You know, they actually do mission trips to places like Russia where all they do is just sit there and rock babies, and that's based off of that research because they found that when babies get rocked, they develop quicker. They have fewer developmental delays, right? And so you need to be loving and hugging on your kid. You need to be cuddling. You need to be kissing. You need to be doing all that good stuff. You know, the kids need physical touch from you as a parent. That's the way it is. But that alone is not enough. Let's talk about the next one. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. This is going to offend some people. I want to make sure that I state for the record, I am a believer. I go to a church that is Christian-based, and we believe in the Holy Bible as being God's inspired word. However, the next parenting approach that I see that does not work is the good book approach. We're going to take the good book approach. You already know where I'm going with this. Those of you that have read it know where I'm going with this. They say, well, Trey Gibson, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, this one gets tough because this is going to get offensive, guys. But I want you guys to know, I am not a scholar by any means. I am not a scholar. However, I do research very deeply into the Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic of the original Bible. And let me guys tell you, they talk about that spare the rod. That is the Hebrew word that was in the Old Testament. That is the Hebrew word shebet. Now, it translates as rod. This is the exact same rod that you would see as a rod of power. Not the rod of whooping, not the rod of the paddle, right? This is not the rod they're talking about. This is the rod of power. This is the rod of authority. It's the same kind of thing that you would see like in Egypt. You ever see the Egypts? They would carry that little, it looked like a little small, it looked like a candy cane, truthfully. But what that was is that was the rod or the scepter of power. What it was basically like a crown, very similar to a crown. It was just a sign of authority. Right? This word, interestingly, shebet, also translates as the shepherd's staff. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen in the shepherd's staff. It has this little hook at the top of it, right? Then it comes down long staff, then it has this hook on the top of it, right? This hook on the top of it was called the crook, right? Does anybody out there in this interwebs world know what the crook was for? The crook was designed so that when sheep were walking and moving, right, as they were hurting, then what happened is one of them split off and went the wrong way. They would take that hook and loop it around its neck and pull it back gently and carefully. Now, I don't know if you guys ever worked with sheep. I grew up in a small FFA-dominated school, and so we worked with a lot of sheep. Let me tell you, you go hitting a sheep. For any of you sheep lovers out there, let me apologize in advance, but sheep are retarded. They are retarded. And if you go to whacking sheep, they will run and split off like goofy, retarded little animals. However, if you just hook them and you just bring them back, they do fine. Interestingly enough, I spent some time in Africa, and I watched them, and some of them had sheep that they would take care of, goats and whatnot, and it was interesting. The good shepherds that they had out there, they didn't have to poke them. They didn't have to prod them. They didn't have to whack them to do anything. You know what they had to do? They just walked, and the sheep would follow them. I mean, think about that. So think about it in that context. When you spare the rod, that gentle encouragement, that guiding, that teaching, the word that we use for discipline comes from the Latin word discipulus, which means to teach and to guide and to grow. So when you spare that teaching, when you spare that gentle guidance with our kids, you spoil the child. My interpretation and my take. Don't take my word on this, guys. Go look it up yourself. Go look it up yourself. But a lot of people use the Bible to say, look, it believes in corporate punishment. Some of you guys out there who maybe have researched this are going to say, well, Trey, there's a couple of other scriptures out there that do say that you beat the child. We'll talk about those in another podcast. But I want you to hear me today. Before we turn this into, does the Bible authenticate and validate using of spanking to pop and bust and whoop kids? Ignore that for now. Ignore that for now and listen to my purpose. Take a look at how Jesus, right? That's the word. Disciples is the same Latin word where we hear disciples. Jesus had his disciples, right? You didn't see him going around beating them up and roughing them up and hitting them, spanking them, or anything else. What did he do? He taught. He guided. He made allegorical stories. That's how he guided people. And that's what we're talking about here. So if you're trying to use the Bible to say, the Bible says I can whoop them, beat them, it doesn't support you. We'll get into some more breakdown in that if we get enough requests. I'm not going to jump. I'm trying to stay away from this, making it sound like I'm trying to preach to you guys, because it's not what I'm trying to do. But this is an approach, at least here in Texas especially, we have to address. Next one is the okay approach. I love talking about this one. This is the okay approach. This is the, okay, hey, we're gonna go to Meemaw's house, okay? We don't chase down and hit the kiddies with rocks, okay? Right? Why is this one a problem? The word okay insinuates that there is what? We're not going to hit this kitty, okay? What that insinuates is that there is a choice. As a parent, as an educator, as a teacher, or anything else, if you are not giving a choice to a kid, do not give them a choice. Don't even make it sound like it. Don't say the words okay. Now, guys, I want y'all to hear me say, the reason I like this one so much is it's one of the ones that I can identify the most with. So you have to be very careful with this one. So don't hear me bringing people down on this, because I struggle with this one more than most of them, right? So this is the one that's like, you know, we're not going to go and become gang members. We're not going to go out and start shooting people. We're not going to start going out and running over people with our cars, okay? There's no choice in these matters. We are not going to offer our kids choices to do these things. right? And so if we're not going to do that, don't throw the words okay out there. Eliminate okay. Say, we are not going to knock our brother off of the trampoline, but instead we're going to be gentle and we're going to be kind. Period. That is it right there. It ends on that. There's no choices in these matters. There's no choices in these things. And believe me, I am a huge guy when it comes to emphasizing choices. I believe in giving kids as many choices as we humanly can, because kids do well when they feel like they have them. Actually, all human nature is we do better when we feel like we have choices. But the bottom line is kids don't need these kind of choices. Where does this come from? And more than often than not, comes from parents who have low self-esteem, and they're afraid that they're going to damage the relationship with their kids, and they don't have the confidence to just say this is the way it's going to be, even if it, you know, burns the relationship a little bit. So because they lack that confidence, they'll add that kind of okay. And to quote the Babilex, I love what they say on this. This is just one approach that we're not going to do, okay? And then last is kind of the mixed, the balanced approach. It's got to be that combination with being firm and loving at the same time. It's got to be that combination of building them up, building respect with them. It's going to be about, like we talked about, how that particular sergeant that we had, how he built our respect up. And I tell you, I literally believe that if we were in a combat situation, I would have run with that sergeant right into incoming fire and died. But I'd have followed him, because I respected him. And that's what we want with our kids too. We don't want them to blindly follow us, but we want them to respect us and want to follow and do the things that we do. We want them to copy us, and we want them to imitate us, right? That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for here, is that balance. We need to be able to build them up, but we need to, remember we talked about that bank account. We need to build them up so high that whenever we do, and you do have to set boundaries with kids, when we do tell them you can't put the butter knife in the electric socket, right? And that takes a hit. And when you tell a kid they can't do something, even if it's to try to keep them safe, that still takes out of their account, right? We've got that respect build up, and they'll do it anyway. That's the approach that we're looking for, is that balance of the two. Build kids up, and then set boundaries. One of the best approaches that I've ever heard to this came from an agency that I worked with two jobs ago, and they said, and I love their mantra. It went like this. When it came to kids, and these were some pretty hard kids. These were some kids who had some pretty rough things happen to them, sometimes sexual or extreme physical. I mean, these kids had a lot of reason to be hurting. But they had a phrase, and I loved it. They said, with these kids, you got to love them, you got to limit them, and you got to help them succeed. And I think that is spot on. You got to love these kids, and you got to build them up, and you got to accept them right where they are. You got to figure out ways to be fun to some of these kids who are just mean little cusses. But then you've also got to limit them. You can't let them get away with the things that they might want to get away with. When kids hurt, when kids are upset, when kids are frustrated, they do dumb stuff just like we adults do. And so some of those things we have to limit. Why do we do that? Because we're modeling what you and I experience as parents, right? We have limits. It's called the law. It's called the American law, right? So we're mimicking for them at home by setting limits that help teach them what it's going to be like when they get out of here. When your kids ask, why do we have rules? You're stupid. Because we are teaching them what it's going to be like when they're on their own one day. If you or I go out and rob a 7-Eleven store tonight, and I get caught, or we get caught, or you get caught, whatever, what's going to happen? You're going to lose freedom. There's going to be consequences that are going to hurt. They're going to stink. You're going to lose your freedom. I'm not going to be able to see my family for a long time. That's what we're doing when we set rules with kids. So you got to love them. You got to limit them. You got to help them succeed. So guys, I want y'all to be chewing on that. What kind of approach are you? What kind of approach are you as a parent? What kind of approach are you as a teacher? What kind of approach are you as a boss? And be thinking about that today. And let's be thinking about, which one do you want to be? If you want to get to that point where you're that balance of those three, stay tuned. Keep on coming back. We're going to have more information that's going to help you get there, that balanced perspective on parenting, teaching, and leading in general. Guys, as always, appreciate y'all being here. Like me on Facebook or Twitter. If you want to, guys, I encourage you to sign up as a member on here. And then also, you're going to get exclusive access to any of the new stuff that I produce. You're going to get access to them, even when I'm charging other people for them. Also, consider signing up for the newsletter. You'll get updates for these. And also, like me on Facebook or Twitter. pop this episode over there. Please do. It gets me some click-throughs on my site, and it also gets people this information. So, as always, guys, it's all about the relationships. Don't forget that. And we'll see you guys at our next podcast.